There's no question that Massachusetts' vaccine rollout has frustrated a lot of people. Signing up for shots can be difficult, and there's some disagreement about who should be at the front of the line. In response, the Baker administration announced some changes today. People 65 and older, and people with at least two risk factors, including asthma, are vaccine eligible starting tomorrow. Though the governor says it may take them a month to get appointments. Governor Baker is also unveiling a new initiative to make vaccinations easier in communities that have been disproportionately affected by the pandemic.
We're going to continue to invest in the local delivery systems that are the trusted delivery systems in those communities. We're also going to develop, hopefully with them, some campaigns that may even involve, you know, door knocking and stuff like that, to try to see if we can get folks to come get vaccinated. So yeah, we have a lot of work to do here.
A lot of work, and some lawmakers and health experts remain worried that people who need the vaccine most will still have to wait a while to get it. And those with concerns include Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz. Welcome, Senator.
Thanks, Kellum. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And we're also joined by Atiyah Martin. She's the chief executive of the All Aces consulting firm and a member of the Black Boston COVID-19 Coalition. She and the senator are also members of the newly formed Vaccine Equity Now Coalition. Welcome, Atiyah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks for both joining us. And Senator, I want to start with you. Just sort of give us an appraisal of where we are right now. What's your appraisal of how the vaccine rollout is going here in Massachusetts?
Well, Colm, look, I share the analysis of many others in the state that the rollout thus far has been, to put it mildly, a very frustrating affair and a tragedy and an embarrassment for the state. And I say that, you know, without malice. I'm not really interested in the finger pointing because it's too important in the context of a pandemic that we stay pulled together as a team, as a state, and that we get this right, because failure is not an option. But if we are going to succeed at turning the ship around where the rollout is concerned, we also have to not mince words, right, about what we haven't gotten right thus far and what the work is ahead. And so, you know, we do have to just say the truth about the fact that we have an abundance of riches here in Massachusetts in scientific and medical expertise and resources from the federal government for vaccine rollout, as well as from the state. And yet we have lagged behind other states in overall rollout, and we are worsening racial inequities rather than making them better with the way that we've handled the vaccine rollout so far. The good news is, let me just come to you, if I can, because, Senator, I
think you make a great point about, you know, we can get caught up in the finger pointing and that may not be the most useful, but there can be some lessons if we figure out where things went wrong and what we could have done differently from the start. So Atiyah, in your view, what might we have done differently?
Well, number one, I think what we could have done differently is let the experts lead on this. And so we have, for this kind of emergency, a pandemic, it would be the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency in partnership with and under the leadership of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, who would be the lead state agency in providing information and coordinating resources and making sure that we have the logistical coordination in order to do well. And so that has not been the practice, as far as I understand, that we have not done what we would usually do if we were following best and promising practices. The second thing is making sure that equity is embedded from the beginning. And there was a great attempt by having an equity task force. The challenge is, it doesn't matter if you have a task force if we don't follow their recommendations. They gave us recommendations and we didn't necessarily follow them. And here we are, trying to adjust and adapt. And the last thing I'd say is the other opportunity that we missed was being able to leverage the expertise and partnership of communities in order to make sure that folks were informed about the vaccine, how to access it, and making sure that folks were supported in navigating, especially if we knew that the system was gonna be a challenge.
I see. So maybe the hope would be some of those concerns would be addressed by the governor's new equity initiative. But Senator, I want to come to you because you've said, hey, this is better late than never. But you've also said that the governor's new initiative is woefully short, in your words, on specifics. So what are the details that you're looking for that are missing?
Yeah, I'm looking for, and again, I do want to give, it's important that we celebrate the positives and the steps in the right direction. And so I am glad that the governor made this announcement. I think it is a turn in the right direction. I also want to shout out the administration for bringing asthma onto the list of comorbidities that will put someone in a priority status in the next phase starting tomorrow in response to community push for that. But the things that I don't see in this plan are that we desperately need are clear lines of authority and accountability, right? Who is going to wake up every morning with the responsibility of the design of this plan and the execution of this plan? And who doesn't have 17 other responsibilities on their job mandate? How much money are we going to put behind it? That's not the only factor, but it is a really important factor. And I've asked that question as a follow-up to the administration, and they still haven't been able to answer it for me. That is just not a complete plan if we don't have real resources committed behind it. I want to see what the benchmarks are for success, right? To Dr. Martin's point, equity needs to be built in from the beginning at every stage. And if we don't, if we're not measuring it, we don't value it. And if we're not measuring it, we can't manage it. So what are the benchmarks for success in vaccine rollout equity? I also, and this is, driven by the advice of many, many public health experts, we need to have a mobile vaccination component where we are either getting people to vaccines or vaccines to people or both, and probably different, cocktails of that in different parts of the state.
Especially in Western Mass, where there's the communities are sort of spread out, there's not the same robust public transit systems. I did want to jump in, Senator, because just as a point of clarification, in case there's some confusion, the governor's equity initiative is a separate thing from the Vaccine Equity Now coalition that you and Atiya unveiled today. But there could be some cooperation there, perhaps. I'm curious how you see perhaps working hand in hand or what your focus might be that might be different from what the administration is doing.
Oh, I think cooperation is exactly what we're looking for. That's 100% what the coalition's announcement today was about. That's what my push has been since I and some of my fellow legislators filed a vaccine equity led piece of legislation 2 weeks ago. We need the governor. The Commonwealth depends on the governor in a pandemic. The executive leadership is critical. This roadmap, whether it's the roadmap in the form of the Vaccine Equity Act that I filed together with Liz Miranda, Becca Rausch, and Mindy Dom, or whether it's the Vaccine Equity Now's coalition list of demands unveiled today, in both cases, what we are asking for is for the governor to take these roadmaps that the community has crafted and put into his hand and just say yes. All he has to do is say yes. These are really achievable things. We have the resources and the expertise here in Massachusetts, and we just need to implement it.
Some of the challenges that you're describing, Senator, it reminds me that, some of what we're seeing right now, there are acute failings and shortcomings in the vaccine rollout, but there's also decades and even centuries of history that goes into it. I'm reminded of the conversation we had with Michael Curry on this program yesterday. He's the head of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, as well as being a member of the National NAACP's Board of Directors. And he says that the mishandling of the pandemic has led to a kind of perfect storm of mistrust.
Zia, you want to take? I'm happy to jump in.
I definitely can speak to that. I think, it speaks to a shift in the narrative that needs to happen, that this acknowledgement that there's a historical and a present day context that influences the ability of people to fully trust healthcare infrastructure and the experiences range everything from things that folks are very familiar with, like experimentation, during for medical research, all the way to yesterday, someone showed up to get healthcare and was mistreated. And so there are these whole range of experiences that influence people's willingness to further engage with something that is seen as part of the healthcare infrastructure, which is why it's so important that demand number one be met, which is to direct resources to trusted community partners, especially in communities of color, to make sure that they are able to help connect those dots, that they're able to help give good quality information so people can make good quality decisions for themselves and access the resources that should be made available to them because of that disproportionate burden.
Senator, is that part of the mission of this new coalition then, to help people make better, more informed decisions and repair some of the trust that was rightfully eroded over decades?
Absolutely. I think that recognition, you know, is the alpha and the omega of a good plan, is that, look, people don't come out of the womb mistrusting their government or the medical establishment. That mistrust is entirely earned. And it is our responsibility as a public sector to work double time now to earn it back and to work through people who have that trust currently. In order to get people, you know, to build those bridges from where people are in their trust of these institutions to where they can get a vaccine. And that's entire, you know, the plan is built around that idea from whether it's, you know, the messengers and the grassroots direct contact that we're envisioning. You heard the governor in his statement talk about maybe his initiative will include door to door. I just don't know why we're at the stage of maybe at this point. You know, these are the things that we do when we know we want somebody's vote, you know, when we want them to do something that's going to benefit a candidacy. We know we got to go to their door and talk to them live, person to person. You know, now we'll do it.
You could roll out the vaccine as if you were on the campaign trail.
That
makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
That's State Senator Sonia Cheng Diaz, along with Atiya Martin. They are both members of the newly formed Vaccine Equity Now Coalition. Thank you both.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day, everyone. Lots of love, hope, and action.
And stay with us. Coming up, it's time to Ask the Doctors. Give us a call with your COVID-19 questions, 1-800-423-8255. I'm Callum Borchers, and this is Radio Boston.